Support for this episode comes from Signature Bank.
Hey, this is Gary Head at Signature Bank of Arkansas. We started this bank 20 years ago to serve our communities with local decision-making and personal relationships. From Fayetteville to Jonesboro, we've grown to 210 teammates, and we're proud to serve all of our customers, including through Banco C, our bilingual banking service. Call 479-684-3700 or visit signature.bank and tell us you heard about us on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Searching for local businesses in Northwest Arkansas just got easier. From restaurants to roofers, boutiques to baristas, FindItNWA.com connects you to the best local businesses with just one click. Discover something local, something great. Visit FindItNWA.com today. Find it fast. Find it local. FindItNWA.com.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and today we are thrilled to welcome a familiar face to the show, Doug Riverman Allen, who is a friend, a neighbor. He actually doesn't live that far from me, and just had an incredible entrepreneur here in Northwest Arkansas. He shared his incredible journey with us before, from navigating the challenges of running Jose's Bar and Grill in Taneytown during the pandemic, to writing The Riverman's Guide to the King's River, a heartfelt tribute to one of Northwest Arkansas's most beautiful natural treasures. Now, Doug, as if he doesn't already have enough on his plate, is embarking on an exciting new chapter, bringing his passion for great food, community, and storytelling — the man is a great storyteller — to his hometown of Eureka Springs with a brand new restaurant. And it's not technically, it's brand new to him, but it's an established restaurant called Bubba's in Eureka Springs. And we can't wait to hear all about this next big adventure and what it means to him personally and professionally. So without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with Doug Riverman Allen. Doug, how are you doing, man?
Hey, great. I'm so tickled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you said yes to coming in here to the studios. We're here at the KUAF studios here on the campus of the University of Arkansas. For those of you that don't know, I always give KUAF a shout out since we've partnered up over, at the time of recording this, more than 18 months ago. It is the only NPR station in Northwest Arkansas, and they do some really great programs. And as you do know, you can hear the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast on the Ozarks at Large show. It comes out — that show is on every Monday through Friday at both noon and at 7 p.m. And then they also, there's a replay at 7 p.m. And it's just a great show that's been running for more than 30 years here in Northwest Arkansas. And so, you know, there's something to be said for things that last. And so I'm really excited to kind of hear this story. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Doug back onto the podcast — this is his third time now — is because his home is Eureka Springs. And so I remember when I first met him, he spoke so fondly about that area. And that's one of the few areas of Northwest Arkansas that I haven't featured as much as I'd like to, but that's going to change in this sixth year of doing this podcast, and we're going to do more episodes. And so this is one of the first ones. And so, Doug, I'd love for you to maybe share a little bit about who you are for the audience that doesn't know you, because maybe they didn't listen to episode 65 when you first came on the podcast, or episode 182 when you came on again. But I'd love for you just to share a little bit about your background.
Sure. Most people know me as the guy that owns Jose's, the taco maker. You know, Jose's was a longtime tradition on Dixon Street, and I took that over in 2004 and opened a location in Springdale, and now my location is in Tawny Town. So a lot of people know me as the Jose guy, the taco maker. There's some of y'all that know me as the Riverman, you know, after writing my book and being on your podcast, and my passion for fishing is, you know, it's what I love to do.
Yeah.
You know, I make tacos for a living, but, you know, fishing is my passion. So I'm a U of A graduate. I've had Jose's now for about 20 years and, you know, continue to operate that location in Tawny Town.
Yeah. And I must say, and one of the things I remember distinctly, especially during the pandemic, which hit most service businesses hard, is that you pivoted. I mean, you were like, I remember buying a whole bunch of hand sanitizer from you. You had all kinds of other things that you were like, you know what? If I can't sell salsa, I'm going to sell something else in the way that the environment was at that time. And I know most of us want to put the pandemic way behind us, but for a lot of us, the pandemic taught us some lessons about perseverance and about, you know, being, you know, as Marie Forleo says, everything is figure outable. And you struck me as a business owner here in Northwest Arkansas that you took that stance of, you know what, I'm going to figure this out. In spite of everything that is around us that's looking bad, in spite of my peers that are closing their restaurants and establishments, I'm going to figure some things out. And I just want to publicly applaud you for that, because what I don't think you realize is that the example that you set as a small business owner reverberated throughout this community. And I were a lot of people, because I actually talked to some other people, and you were one of the people that I mentioned that I was like, man, you know, this brother had a lot of stick-to-itiveness. He could have given up and just because it didn't look good, and you just kept going. And I personally want to publicly say thank you for the example that you set as a small business owner who not only employed yourself, but you employed other people. So you didn't just have your family to support, but you had other families support. So I just want to, you know, I always like to say, we should be giving people their flowers when they're alive. And so I just want to give you those flowers.
You know, I appreciate that. That was probably one of the most difficult times in my life, you know, and as we talked about in the other podcast, I remember laying there awake one night going, I'm about to lose everything, you know, and then I decided to get up and fight.
Yeah.
You know, I fought for my employees. I fought for my family. You know, I was fighting for our community. I was fighting for our livelihood. And, you know, it worked out. You know, we worked hard to secure some of those products that we sold. And, you know, we saved our business.
Yeah.
You know, and the one great thing that came out of this, Randy, is I could not sleep at night. So I would get up and I would start writing on my Kings River book.
Mm.
So I always tell people if there's a couple of good things that came out of the pandemic, number one is I was able to help people.
Yeah.
But number two, I was able to focus and finish on my book. You know, maybe it was because of stress, because I couldn't sleep. But hey, I was able to finish my book, get it published, and, you know, killed two birds with one stone.
No, absolutely. And like I said, I mean, a lot of times we sometimes think we are suffering in silence or we're going through something that nobody else knows. And of course, that may be the case. But a lot of times when, you know, in this day and age, when social media is available and we have sometimes a glimpse into the lives of other people, you know, it's how you carry yourself in the most challenging moments that speak the loudest. And I just wanted to share that with you because it has always stuck with me. And so that's why I've always, when people ask me about a good Mexican restaurant, about a place to go, and I'm like, listen, you're up in Springdale. Even if you aren't, take the drive to Jose's Bar and Grill. They have a lot to offer. Their tacos are amazing. They have an outstanding brunch. I mean, they just, you know, you wouldn't realize it until you get over there and you're like, oh my God, I had no idea this was over here in this little corner of Springdale.
Yeah, thank you. Town. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, absolutely.
20 years running.
That's awesome. So, and there's some other things I want to talk about too that I know that you've done and that you have done recently in the past, but let's talk about this whole idea of Eureka Springs. Why? And I'm glad that you brought up, you know, why Eureka Springs is so near and dear and special to you. But for the uninitiated, because I know there are a lot of people that I run into right here in the main artery of Northwest Arkansas. And when I think of that, it's just like, just think of a straight line from Fayetteville up to Bella Vista that have never gone a little to the east to Eureka Springs. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you don't understand. It's a little slice of heaven right here in Northwest Arkansas. Sometimes when my wife and I go up there, it's like we feel like we're getting away. And it's really not that far away. But why is Eureka Springs, outside of the place that where you grew up, why is it so special to you?
Now, are you sure you want me to talk about Eureka Springs?
Yes, I do.
I'm so passionate about my hometown that, you know, we could talk for hours. But Eureka Springs, it's, you know, it's just a quaint little town of about 2,000 people. It's only about an hour drive from Fayetteville. Just a mecca of wonderful restaurants over there, places to stay, things to do. Of course, my wonderful Kings River is nearby. Eureka Springs is, you know, that's my hometown. Those are my people. So I get really passionate when I talk about my hometown. I've lived in Fayetteville for, you know, since the late 80s, but, you know, that's my hometown. Those are my people.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful place to visit. Easy to visit. Kids and adults of all ages can visit Eureka Springs and find plenty of things to do. Like I said, a mecca, an absolute mecca of wonderful restaurants over there. It's incredible. A town of 2,000 people to have such amazing restaurants to dine at over there. Just unique concepts. You know, it's just a wonderful place to visit.
Historical architecture.
Historical, for sure.
Haunted hotels.
Absolutely.
I mean, you name it, they've got it. And so I was very impressed. And, you know, I would love for you maybe to share a little bit about, you know, how this opportunity even came about, because Bubba's, as the restaurant is called, has been around for a long time. And you actually knew the owner before you purchased it from him. So walk us through your experience with this restaurant before it became your restaurant.
Sure. You know, it's kind of ironic because, you know, I took over a restaurant from a famous restaurateur here in Fayetteville, Joe Fennell.
And Joe's a legend.
Joe's a legend in the restaurant business. So he taught me everything I know.
Yeah.
And he's the reason, you know, I'm at Jose's today. So, but I made it very well known that Bubba's is my favorite restaurant growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and it continued to be, besides Jose's, of course.
Right, right.
So, you know, Bubba's was one of the very first restaurants that, you know, I ate at as a kid. It's been there for decades. And Bob Wilson has been the owner of that for a long time. And he's ready to move on. He had somebody take it over, Brian and Robin, for the last couple of years. And they did a great job of continuing the Bubba's legendary restaurant, and they were ready to move on and do other things. So it kind of popped up, and, you know, I'd looked at it a couple of years ago and the timing wasn't right. My kids were in high school still. I was looking at doing something river related, and that kind of fell through. And then once again, Bubba's popped up, and I was like, I think this is the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My favorite restaurant in the world, what I consider a legendary restaurant owner of Eureka Springs. You know, I've been down that road before. I know how the restaurant operates. Barbecue is in my wheelhouse,
right.
Even though I make tacos. You know, I'm pretty passionate about making barbecue. So this thing popped up and I was like, yeah, these are my people. I get to go home.
This makes sense.
You know, this makes sense.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Bubba's. Is it a traditional barbecue spot, or
it is
what can people expect when they come there?
Sure. You know, it's been there a long time. I think their mantra is, you know, it may not look famous, but it is. Bubba's is, you know, it has the traditional ribs, brisket, you know, it has the pork shoulder, you know, all the traditional barbecue items, and it's done. It's smoked in an earth pit. So, you know, it has its unique flavor, and the restaurant was built in a house.
Okay.
So it was converted to a restaurant. You know, it has a nice patio and it's been expanded on a few times over the years.
What is the seating?
So, the seating is about 100 seats.
Oh, wow.
Total.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which includes the patio.
Okay. All
right. So it's a decent sized restaurant for sure.
Okay. Is there any chance that there may be some barbecue street tacos on the menu?
Well, you
up?
Know, it's funny.
Kind of like an amalgamation
I think that's been the number one question, you know. Well, probably number two question. Number one question is, will you keep Bubba's the same way it is?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. The Bubba's tradition is there, but, yeah. You know, Doug's going to put his Jose Funk to it and put some brisket tacos on there. There might be some margaritas and, you know, there might be some other stuff, tamales,
sure.
and stuff like that that I've experienced at Jose's with. I'll run that by the customers and see if they like it, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, it's nothing like a little experimentation as you kind of figure things out, if you will.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my simple question to you is, as an owner of an established restaurant, and as we shared offline before we started recording this, you know, I don't think people recognize the pressure and the challenges of running a service business, especially a restaurant.
Yeah.
And of course, yes, we now have the pandemic in hindsight, so we know how bad it can be. But even in the best of times, a restaurant can be a challenge. So talk to us a little bit about the fortitude needed to be able to get something like that off the ground and keep it going, right? Because again, like you said, you took over an established business run by a really well-known restaurateur in Joe Fennell that, you know, he knew what he was doing. I mean, Joe's had a bunch of restaurants here in this area, and every one of them has had some success in their own right. But it's not easy running a restaurant. And we became friends, and I followed you since that time. And, you know, it's been a lot of years now. But I've seen you, you know, chronicle all of the different challenges that you run into when running a restaurant. And I would love for you just to kind of share with the audience, what is it that has kept you locked in, if you will, to trying to make this thing happen?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. To be in the restaurant business, you got to be really passionate about what you're doing. You know, the hours are long. You have all kinds of challenges, from hiring people to food costs to, you know, concept to, I mean, you name it. There's so many variables in the restaurant business. You know, it's crazy. And I always say this phrase, and I teach my managers this, and now I'll modify it a little bit since I'm going to have a barbecue restaurant. But I always tell people, tacos and margaritas are easy.
Yeah.
People are hard.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And once you figure out how to deal with the people, the tacos and margaritas and that's simple. So now it's tacos, margaritas, and barbecue are easy.
Right.
You know, people are hard. And people, you know, that means, you know, sometimes that's employees, sometimes that's customers. So, you know, fortunate for me, I have a degree in social work, so I use it every day with my employees.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, and so, you know, I'm able to listen a lot to my employees and to my customers. If my customers are telling me, hey, you need to do this, or this isn't right, you know, you can take offense to it, or you can go, hey, you know what? They may have something here. Let me deflect, let me counter and make it happen. So, you know, in the restaurant business, you go forwards about 5 miles an hour, but you can go backwards 100.
Exactly.
So it is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, it certainly, as an entrepreneur, it would have to keep you on your toes. So I would imagine when this opportunity finally presented itself to you in a way that allowed you to consider the circumstances, the season of life that you're in, that you were willing to undertake a second restaurant. And, you know, I'm just curious to know, what did you, and I know your lovely wife, Pauline, is a partner in crime with you on this journey. So you have the support at home, which is important. But as you move out and do this, what are you most excited about in, you know, taking over and running a second restaurant? And by the way, these restaurants are an hour apart. It's not like they're like right down the street from each other.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not terribly far, but you know what I mean.
Right, right. There's some distance there. You know, fortunately, Pauline has learned how to run the restaurant. I mean, she's at Jose's almost as much as I am. So she's learned just about every facet of the restaurant. So like I said, now that her kids are gone, you know, we're really able to team up. And, you know, if I'm not at Jose, she's probably going to be there, you know, vice versa at Bubba's. And there'll be times when we're both there,
yeah,
you know, working the restaurants. But fortunate for me, I have someone that I can lean on, that I can cry on her shoulder, she can cry on mine, someone to toss ideas back and forth about, hey, we should do this, or hey, did you look at that? So, you know, I'm fortunate to have her as part of that team.
Yeah.
To get this thing up and running, especially at a distance.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned team, because one of the things that I think should not be lost on anyone, especially if you're running a restaurant or any type of service business, you are only as good as the people you hire.
That is exactly right. I'm so glad you said that. So, and that goes back to tacos and margaritas are
right,
easy.
Exactly.
Are, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, talk a little bit about, so, you know, what have you learned over the years of running a successful restaurant in terms of the ins and outs of finding really good people, and not just finding them, but holding on to them?
Well, it's, you know, number one, these people have to make a living. So you got to figure out how to pay them, how to help them, not just in the restaurant, but in life in general. A lot of times you're a coach,
yeah,
you're a life coach, you're not just their boss, you know? So retaining people is easier if you get to know them. So
yeah,
I'm a hands-on owner, so I'm inside the restaurant. So, You know, they see me washing dishes, they see me bussing tables, they see me cooking, what, you know, catering, whatever it takes. They're like, hey, man, this guy's in my corner. I can go talk to him about, you know, some of my needs and where I need help at. So it's important to establish that type of atmosphere that, hey, my door is always open. People can come, you know, cry on my shoulder anytime they want to. And I'm going to try to help them the best I can.
Yeah.
You know, in return, that, you know, it keeps your turnover lower.
Absolutely.
In our business. Our industry is huge turnover. But, you know, a lot of our people stay for a long time. Now, a lot of those are students, you know, that may graduate. I just had one, got her realtor license, Tiffany Darling, you know, that I hired 20 years ago. So nothing makes me prouder than
to see
one of your star pupils go on to be a great person and have a professional career. So it's a fulfilling business to see them go on and do great things.
I've always said, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but working in the service business for a young person is the best opportunity for you to grow up and learn, because you learn how to deal with people. You learn how to communicate. You learn how to build a relationship. I actually, you know, and this is just an aside and you'll appreciate this, but there was a really cool restaurant in the town that I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. It was called Cliff and Ann's. It was kind of like a small bistro. And it was the owner, Cliff, was Jamaican, and he was just an amazing chef. And it was a very small restaurant. I want to say they had about 15 tables. So it was all hand service. You know, you could bring in your own wine or you could buy wine from them and all that. I'm a 14-year-old kid as a busser and sometimes as a backup sous chef to help him out, right, and do some stuff in there. And, you know, I learned so much in that restaurant. And I worked there for 2 years. And it really set me on a foundation of success for life in terms of, I mean, again, communicating with people, just finding early responsibility and understanding that, you know, you could do something that could really hurt somebody in the restaurant business, right? It's like, no, you got to make sure this meat is at the right temperature. Yeah. You got to make sure these things are done right. This can't be sitting out overnight, the whole nine yards, and, you know, keeping things clean. And then I always remember they taught me, they said, you know, and then they ended up letting me wait tables, but they were like, and that was a big deal back then as a 15-year-old kid waiting tables. And I'm up here serving alcohol when I'm sure I probably shouldn't have been serving alcohol, but it was what it was. And that's a long time ago. But I remember the conversations I had distinctly with the owners, and they would tell me, hey, yeah, this is our restaurant, but that section over there, that's yours. You man it like it's your restaurant. You go in there, you take care of those people as if they were sitting at your table at home, and they'll take care of you. And I always remembered that. And it stuck with me. And so all the way through graduating from college, I always found a place to wait tables and work at a really, and I always found good restaurants, right, that really cared about not just the food, but the overall ambiance, as well as just the product that was coming out of the kitchen. And that really always stuck with me. And that level of service, you don't always see, but kids, especially young people nowadays, they could learn something by being in an environment like that. And so for me, it's always a challenge when I go to places and I don't see that level of excellence. And I think a lot of it is because some of these young people aren't being trained and taught.
Uh-huh.
This is how you lead. This is how you communicate. This is how you serve food to people. This is how you make sure you follow up and make sure everything is okay. And you know, you go to a restaurant and they set the food down at your table and then they come back and check on you 15 minutes later. And it's like, well, I wanted some ketchup 12 minutes ago, but nobody ever came back just to even check in how's everything going? And I'm like, to me, there's so many lessons that can be learned.
Oh, my gosh.
Working in a restaurant specifically.
Yeah. You know, it's a great first job for people. You know, I've hired many people throughout the years, including my own son.
Yeah.
Who was an introvert. So, you know, we put him in the restaurant at the host stand and, you know, now he waits tables when he comes home, and it really pulled him out to communicate, you know, with the customers, with other people. And, you know, I've had several employees do that, and I've had several parents thank me, say, hey, you know, my son needed that, or my daughter needed to get out in front of people and figure out how to deal with people. Sometimes it's not all roses, you know, sometimes you're dealing with conflict and problems, and then there's resolution and, you know, all that comes with it. You know, it's part of those restaurant variables. It's not just putting plates of food in front of people.
Right.
You know, it's amazing what can happen when the customer orders food, till it gets in the computer, goes back to the kitchen, and comes back to the customer. There's hundreds of variables that could go wrong and hundreds of ways to resolve issues that you may have, and you know, to make the customer happy. And what great training, you know, life skills these kids get to, you know, to figure out, you know, how to deal with these customers as food. So, yeah. You know, I'm so pleased with those people that have gone on to do bigger and better things for sure.
Absolutely. So as it stands right now, and I'm looking at it, you've got Jose's Bar and Grill. You had The Riverman's Guide to the King River.
Correct.
Great book.
Thank you.
You have an advocacy and just a draw to nature. You're an outstanding fisherman. And I would just be curious to know, how have you figured out a way to link your passion to preserving our natural resources along with this whole, you know, idea of just being a consummate restaurateur?
Sure. You know, it's like I said, the tacos, margaritas, and now barbecue is my passion.
And fishing.
You know, yeah, is my job.
Right.
You know, but fishing and conservation is my passion. You know, if we teach people how to conserve, you know, how to take care of the river, then it's going to be around for the next generations. You know, the river was a big part of me growing up.
Yeah.
As we talked about in our last podcast with you, and it's going to continue to be that. Now, will I be juggling a little bit more, you know, and making better use of my time to get out on the river? Yeah, that's going to happen. But, you know,
the call will be there, because
the
you'll
call
be,
will be there.
Be a stone's
I'm
throw
so
from
close to it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you know, back in my hometown of Eureka Springs, you know, the Kings River so close by, you know, and I'm just tickled to pink to be over in Eureka. And I've got some great restaurant friends over there, you know, that are very supportive of me. Local Flavor Restaurant. I don't know if you know Britt and Connie that own that place.
No, I don't.
A beautiful restaurant. You've got the Basin Park. You've got the Crescent. You got the Sky Bar. You got just a mecca of great restaurants and support group. My friend Catherine has a food truck over there, you know, that's wonderful. So, you know, I'll fish. I'll do barbecue. I'll do Jose's. You know, I'm used to staying busy. Some people say, do you ever sleep?
Right.
You know,
right,
sometimes
right.
I wonder if I do ever sleep. But, you know, it's going to be a great challenge. But, you know, the river and the conservation part of it, that's high priority for me.
Yeah. So, and for the uninitiated, for those that are listening that may not know about the Kings River, they may have heard the Buffalo River. Maybe they're thinking about coming here to visit and they're like, well, you know, I didn't know that there was a Kings River. And just tell us a little bit about why the Kings River is so significant.
You know, it's just a beautiful mountain stream. You know, it starts within about a 10-mile radius of the Buffalo, the White River, the Mulberry River, the Kings River. And it's one of the lesser-known rivers, but it's still stunningly beautiful, stunningly clear. You know, it's a great fishery. It's a great place to kayak and canoe. It's just, there's just so many great, wonderful things about the Kings River, the camping. You know, the people you meet along the river, you know, there's so many great things, you know, about the Kings. I'm partial to it, obviously, because I grew up on the Kings River.
Yeah.
But it is one of the lesser known rivers. Some people are going to kill me for advertising their special river. But, you know, with the amount of people that are moving to Northwest Arkansas, I can't remember the statistics on that.
Maybe 36 new people a day.
36 new people a day.
Yeah.
OK, people are going to know about the Kings River, the Mulberry, the Wyatt, the Buffalo. So we got to get ahead of it, and we got to teach them to take care of it, to conserve it.
Absolutely.
Because the people are coming, and
yeah,
they're going to discover it. You know, the outdoor activities in the last, since the pandemic, have just ballooned. So, you know, we got to teach people to take care of our rivers and streams so our kids will have a place to, and grandkids will have a place to take their family.
Yeah. I mean, you amen to that. I mean, I think that is the absolute truth. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that in addition to just the whole focus on nature conservancy, one of the things that I've seen you giving back to the community in is some of the fishing programs that you've done with young anglers that are just learning about fishing. And I would just love for you, and this is a chance for you just to give an unblemished commercial on this program that you do every summer, where you technically bring young people that may have never fished before in their lives to the river to learn how to fish, and you kind of walk them through the whole process. Just tell us a little bit about that and what sparked you. I mean, I think I know why, but what sparked you to want to do that program in the first place?
Well, it's called Riverman School for Kids, you know, and I think I'm in my fifth or sixth season of doing that. And I just wanted kids to to be able to enjoy the river like I did as a kid.
Yeah.
So what we did, you know, we obviously we didn't have phones in our hands. We didn't have, you know,
it was a different time,
I grew up pretty poor, so I didn't have, I didn't even have a TV. So what we did is we went to the river, and I just remember all those special times that my dad spent with me teaching me to fish. I remember the first tug of a smallmouth bass on my fishing pole. I remember catching crawdads and lifting over rocks and, you know, dodging the occasional snake and learning how to identify different types of snakes on the river, knowing the fish, knowing how to catch the fish. And I thought more kids need to experience that tug of the pole to be able to turn over a rock, to seine for minnows, to identify fish. And I tell you what, we've had a lot of volunteers that help me with this, which is wonderful, but the experience is amazing. Once you see a kid catch his first fish and he or she, they squeal with delight and they feel the tug of that pole. It's just, it's so gratifying, and they learn and they want to come back. I've had kids, you know, beg to come back year after year. So, you know, we catch crawdads, we hang them on their ears and helger mites and, you know, we identify all kinds of bait. And of course we swim and have fun and do what kids want to do, throw rocks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the Riverman School, it's near and dear to my heart. And hopefully we'll continue this year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you get support from local businesses and others that help you out with this. This program that you do, if I remember correctly, every time you do it, it just, you know, you run out of space.
It is. It's hard for me to turn people down.
Yeah.
You know, I had a very large class one time because I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
And luckily I had some great volunteers that come help me. There's so many volunteers I can't, you know, I couldn't name all the names, but, you know, of course, my wife and kids, they're all river kids, so they come help out. My girls can catch fish with the best of them.
Okay.
So, you know, it's we don't want any kid not to experience it if we can help it. You know, the classes, they can't be too large, but, you know, demand's getting high. I'm not sure what I'm going to do to deal with that. I guess I'll just ask for more volunteers. But, you know, what a great experience to share some of that knowledge that my parents did with me as well.
No, I love that. I love that. So when you kind of take like your entrepreneurial experience and your heart for community engagement and your advocacy of the natural aspects of Northwest Arkansas, what are you hopeful for the future here in this area that is growing so fast, right? Because I mean, it's a blessing and a curse when you think of it, right? Because it's like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, you remember Northwest Arkansas when, and we're kind of like contemporaries in age. So I can only imagine what things were like for you back in the day when this area was, as shall we say, quite pristine.
Yes.
And now it's a lot
different. There's people everywhere, Randy.
There's people everywhere.
You know,
like,
building
literally,
people everywhere. So. You know, but, you know, going back to, you know, how I was brought up through Jose's and Joe Fennell, Joe was the leader in community involvement. That guy, he would do anything for anybody at any time. You know, he started the Chili Pepper Festival. I mean, he was always doing, you know, community projects, helping people out, whether it was the university track team or, you know, just any type of benefit. So being community involved is super important. You know, the community wrapped their arms around me during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, so how can I not give back?
Yeah.
You know, the community of Eureka Springs, they've always been a great cheerleader of mine throughout the year. And so how can I not go back to Eureka Springs and be super involved in the community there? You know, that's what excites me. I can't wait to get back over there and say, hey, what's going on? How can I be involved? What can I do to help you guys? You know, that's going to be a big part of it. And I'm super excited to do that. And that's a big part of who I am. You know, I just, you know, I want to help people. You know, I want to do business the right way for the right reasons and make an impact on other people.
Yeah. No, well said. And certainly, that's one of the reasons why I would encourage anyone listening to this to please support your entrepreneurial efforts in Jose's Bar and Grill in Taneytown and now Bubba's Barbecue in Eureka Springs. But Doug isn't the only person that I've met here in Northwest Arkansas that really has a heart to give back to the community. And I think that is a refrain that we see over and over again from a lot of business owners in this area. You can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I just see a lot of people that have a heart to give back to our local community in a multitude of different ways, whether it's through the Riverman's Fishing School or something like that. There are a lot of different ways that people are figuring out in ways to give back. And so I certainly appreciate the work that you put into this. And man, I certainly wish you nothing but success. it's hard enough running one restaurant, let alone two. And now you've got a Mexican restaurant and a barbecue restaurant. I'm afraid to ask you what's next.
Crazy life, crazy wife.
Exactly,
you know,
that's
how we roll.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. So listen, for those that are coming into Eureka Springs, where can they find Bubba's Barbecue?
You can find it on Highway 62, which I consider in Uptown Eureka. If anybody knows where the Best Western Hotel and the old Eureka High School is, we're probably a stone's throw from either one of those.
Okay. And is there a website for the restaurant?
There is a website, bubbaseurekasprings.com.
Perfect. And we'll put all of that in the show notes, as well as a link to your original restaurant, Jose's Bar and Grill, as well as a link to the previous episodes that we did with Doug, because I would certainly encourage those that are listening to this, support Doug in any way that you can. Go to his restaurants, get some nachos, get some tacos, get some salsa and chips, or chips and salsa. I guess there's a running argument between which came first. And then I want you to also check out his book on the Kings River. It is one of the most well put together books that I've ever read. I'm not a big guy of reading books about a river, but if I was going to refer a book about a river to anyone, it would be Doug's book. And so he was kind enough to send me a copy, and I really enjoyed reading that book. And I've actually encouraged several local friends here that have gotten copies, and they all said the same thing, that it's just a great tome to have about a river that is very special in this area. So,
wonderful. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So thank you. And if people want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know, if you really want to connect with me, come by one of my restaurants. Right. You'll probably see me there. All you got to do is ask, say, hey, is Doug there? I've got a question about fishing.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh.
Or even a question about, like, somebody might be listening to this that's thinking about opening or starting a restaurant.
And, oh, absolutely.
You know, Doug would be the person to talk to. And, you know, I mean, he keeps good company. He's, you know, he's real close with a lot of friends that I have that are friends. And like I said, we're neighbors. We don't live terribly far from each other. And our kids participate in a lot of events together. This guy is the real deal. So I'm telling you, as sure as the nose is on my face, Doug Allen is the real deal, and somebody that is definitely giving back in our community. And I would encourage you to support him any way that you can. And so, Doug, man, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I did have one question for you, and I've come up with this new line of questions. And I know this is hard to ask you because you own a restaurant. Now you own two. But what's your favorite? I know you've gone to other restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What other restaurant besides Jose's Bar and Grill and now Bubba's Barbecue is your favorite spot to go to get some good comfort
food? Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. You're putting me on the spot.
Yes, because I know you know a lot of restaurateurs around, so somebody's going to be pissed off.
I do. I'm going to be getting some texts and phone calls after this. But, you know, believe it or not, I love to eat at Noodles.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yeah, and it's a locally owned restaurant, and I always enjoy eating there. It's a great place to bring my family. And once again, I'm supporting local.
Right. Yeah.
So that is probably one of my favorite places to eat.
Yeah.
Now,
I love
in
that.
Eureka Springs, you know, there's several of them there. I got to mention some. I mentioned some of them.
Yeah, you mentioned a few.
Local Flavor. Yeah.
Basin Park Crescent. Yeah. So
there's the Grotto, which is a wonderful atmosphere in downtown Eureka. You know, there's just, There's so many great places to eat over there.
I'll put links to all of those places in the show notes. So some of you that are listening that want to get out to Eureka Springs and hang out there, and you know, if you go for the day, just go spend time, walk around. It's a great place to walk. You can do that. You can even head out to the river while you're there and then come back and have dinner. I mean, there's a lot that you can do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's something for everybody. And don't forget, Beaver Lake is only 10 minutes away from Eureka Springs.
Right.
You also have the White River. Not just the Kings River, although I'm biased about it. There's plenty of outdoor activities.
No, absolutely. So I would encourage folks to definitely check it out. And if you haven't been to Eureka Springs and have only heard about it, I want to encourage you to come out and check out Eureka Springs and see it for yourself. And definitely while you're there, go visit Bubba's Barbecue and let them know that you heard about it first here on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I'm sure Doug would appreciate that. And who knows, maybe you'll get some extra fries or coleslaw or something with your meal. So we'll figure something out. But Doug, thank you so much for coming on and joining us for a third time.
Wow.
That's called the trifecta. We got to come up with some kind of trifecta.
Randy, what a pleasure to be on your podcast. You know, I love it. I love what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
It's an honor to be asked to do this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate you. And so we'll certainly at some point in time have you on again. And you've convinced me that I need to get your wife on this podcast to talk about her origin story.
What an interesting story.
It's a very interesting story from basically coming over from Europe or the UK here to
Ireland,
to here to Fayetteville, Arkansas, of all places, and finding a life here. Finding a husband. So,
yep. And Jose's.
And Jose's. So, yeah, that's all good. So, yeah, we'll figure that out. And as soon as I pull that together, I will tease it and share it out with the rest of the audience. But, again, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, folks, there you have it. Another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. To learn more about us or to check out our website, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. Remember, our podcast comes out every Monday, rain or shine. You can find us on every podcasting platform, especially Apple Podcasts, where we love to get reviews. So if you get a chance and you've listened to this podcast and it has spoken to you in some way, shape, or form, please consider writing a review about the podcast and letting us know. That's the only way that we get better. I just enjoy doing this. And as long as I can press record, I'm going to continue to bring this podcast. That's all I have for you this week. We will see you back here next week for another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.